Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Are you still tracking with me? We are in the book of Ecclesiastes. A book that some people find difficult, but I think as we've been moving through it, you realize that there's quite a bit of insight here. It's just that we need to understand what Solomon is saying, and sometimes what he is saying gets lost in the jumble of unfamiliar phrases and words, and we're not always sure exactly what he is trying to communicate. But when we spend enough time with it to understand what he's saying, it makes an awful lot of sense. There is a lot of wisdom here, and this is one of the wisdom books, along with the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. In fact, there's some sections in Ecclesiastes that sound very much like the book of Proverbs. We'll get to those in due time. But it's a wisdom book, like the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a whole collection of, for the most part, one sentence bits of wisdom. We'd have secular proverbs. We have the kind of pithy sayings that came down to us from our history here in America, and even from other places that we value. If they're right and true, it's just a helpful way to condense some good common sense, some good wisdom into a memorable statement. And we have the book of Proverbs, which is a divine book of that, and written by the same author, Solomon. And Ecclesiastes falls into that category. It's a wisdom book. And so there are some elements in it that are maybe sound a little bit more like secular proverbial wisdom than spiritual wisdom, and yet it really is communicating spiritual wisdom, but for the clarity of that, we have to get clear to chapter 12, and we're only in chapter 2 now, so we'll just keep plowing, but I just put that in front of you. Realize that's where we're going. We're going to a very spiritual conclusion. We're going eventually to come to a conclusion that is exactly in line with what we find in other places in the Bible, but it's taking us there around a different route, a different road, and it's an interesting one to me, and I hope it will be to you. So thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, July 15. Thank you for helping support the Beacon Broadcast with your financial gifts, which make it possible for us to continue. What have we seen so far in chapter 2? Remember, the book is primarily an investigation by Solomon of all the different areas of life. And right now, he's investigating the different areas of life that people pursue, hoping to find greater happiness, fulfillment, and satisfaction in life. What is it that makes life more meaningful? That's a pretty important question. Not everybody gives time and attention to that question, but a lot of people do. If I'm going to live in this world, and I don't know how long I'm going to live, but forever, ever how long I'm going to live here, it seems like I ought to bend my direction, my efforts, and my direction in life toward those things that will make my life more satisfied, fulfilled, meaningful, And what exactly is that that will make my life happy and fulfilled? And as we know, people come up with different answers to that question. And that's why we have people pursuing all kinds of different things in life. Because some people think this is going to do it. And some people think that is going to do it. And that's what Solomon is doing. He's investigating these things. And so you remember that in the first 11 verses, he investigates the category of pleasure and wealth. And I'm not going to go through that list again. We've been through it. But he comes to the conclusion that that brings a measure of satisfaction, but nothing of lasting value. It really doesn't. Acquiring wealth does not bring the lasting satisfaction that people think it's going to. Pursuing pleasure does not bring the lasting satisfaction that people think it's going to. That doesn't do it, okay? What's the next category? Wisdom. That's the one we looked at yesterday in verses 12 through 17. Wisdom. And Solomon begins by acknowledging that wisdom is superior to folly. Between the two, you'd be better off being wise than being foolish. You'd be better off pursuing wisdom than ignoring it. But he goes on to say that death is the great leveler, and therefore the advantage of wisdom over folly is really only a temporary advantage, because wisdom's advantage is canceled at death. Think that through. So what he's saying is, and this gets us into the spiritual realm, what he's saying is that yes, wisdom has advantage over folly in this life, to some degree. He doesn't seem to give it a huge advantage, but it all depends on what you think he's saying there. When he talks about it's wisdom is greater than folly, like light is greater than darkness, that's a pretty big contrast. But he's saying that when the day of death comes, death is the great leveler, everybody dies, and when the day of death comes, having secular wisdom, human wisdom, education, knowledge, doesn't give you any advantage the day after you die over the person who didn't have any of those things. And he's telling us that this life is not the most important part of our existence. Now we're getting into the spiritual realm. He doesn't spell it out here. The clarity and the details of that become more in focus when we get to the last chapter. But the hints are here all along the way. What he's saying is this life is not all there is. In fact, it's only a little bit of what's of our whole existence. And in the light of eternity, in the light of beyond, what's beyond the grave, what you do in this life isn't really as important as what comes in the next life. And though he doesn't spell it out this way, we could say this, that the man who the world considers to be a fool because he didn't go to college, maybe didn't even finish high school, he doesn't have a lot of wisdom as the world measures it, he doesn't have a lot of degrees, he doesn't have what the world considers to be wisdom. So that probably does mean that he has a lower paying job in life and so forth. But number one, does that ensure that his life is going to be less fulfilling, less happy than the man who has all that education? Not in Solomon's observation. There are some advantages to wisdom, but it really doesn't add that much value to life, and it adds nothing, according to Solomon, nothing, absolutely nothing, to the value of our existence at the end of this earthly life. For that, the only thing that matters is your relationship with your Creator. That's why when he gets to the end, chapter 12, what does he say? Remember now your Creator. In the days of your youth, start living for him. Start thinking about him. Start learning about him and learning from him when you're young. that's what's going to really make the difference in life and especially in eternity. The man with three doctor's degrees dies and goes to hell. The man with the eighth grade education dies and goes to heaven. Now, who's better off? Did the man with the three doctor's degrees have what the world considers to be greater success while he was living? Yes. No question about it. Was his life more fulfilling and happy? Maybe, maybe not. That depends on a whole lot of other things, but not necessarily so. The man with the eighth grade education may have really had a happier, more fulfilling life, though he certainly, probably, in most cases, didn't obtain as much fame in life and as much wealth in life. But if he goes to heaven and the highly educated man goes to hell, then what advantage was all that education? It may have actually turned out to be a disadvantage because it directed him away from godly wisdom. It may have encouraged him to think that human wisdom is superior to godly wisdom, and he therefore scorned the wisdom that really matters and that brings one into a right relationship with God and prepares one for the day of death. Death overtakes every man. And in one sense, there is no advantage in life or in death. There's no advantage in death of the wise man over the foolish man. And if the foolish man, the so-called foolish man, was prepared for death in a way that the wise man was not, and if it was the man's secular and human wisdom that prevented him from believing the revelation of God and being prepared to die, then actually it would have been better to have been the one that the world considers to be the fool, wouldn't it? So the value of wisdom is, Solomon is basically saying, it's a bit overrated. That from the man who was in his day the wisest man on the face of the earth. But Solomon says this wisdom business is a bit overrated. And Solomon was wise in the ways of the world. Actually, Solomon doesn't show as much spiritual wisdom as we think he should. We're sometimes surprised and a bit appalled at how much lacking he seems to be in spiritual wisdom. He gets himself in a lot of trouble because he doesn't pay attention to the Word of God like he should. And it may have been his great learning. He could tell you all about, we'll get into this eventually in this book, but he could tell you all about the world of animals and science. I mean, he had that down. And he understood more about how to manage things, how to administrate things, and probably anybody else. That's why his kingdom was so well organized, and it was the marvel of the world of his day. Solomon had an awful lot of wisdom that the world considers to be wisdom. He had all that. But he says that's a bit overrated. The thing that really matters is what you know about your Creator and how well you are related to Him. And if you are ready to meet your Maker, because we're all going to die. And after that day of death, the only thing that matters is not how much you knew about science or about business administration, is how much you knew about God. So remember your Creator in the day of your youth. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.